seeking the darker side of paranormal talk radio, look no further. Go to Live365.com and search for Paranormal Radio Show, hosted by Tommy Golden, sponsored by the Tennessee Ghost Chasers. And search for Paranormal Radio Show talks about all things on the dark side of paranormal. So tune in live on Thursdays and Fridays from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. Central Time Zone.
I'd like to share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th, 2046.
I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globeye.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes, not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that, actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera, hear something weird or something like that.
The fire! Join the three paramigos for some serious discussion of the paranormal.
She wants to know how John prepares himself for what he sees before he goes out on some of these investigations.
Can I just take my glasses off?
And as usual, some surprising guest.
I was going to contract the viewer of Rodney Dangerfield. Can you hear me, Rodney?
Hey, what is this place? Where am I? I need to fire my agent. I get no respect.
Some very serious topics will be discussed.
Did you ever share with everybody my nickname for you?
No. Go ahead and tell them.
Tiny.
From the serious to satire, the Three Paramigos radio program, Tuesday nights on the APEC Radio Network, 8 to 10 p.m. Central.
The Three Paramigos are we.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Tall, bald, and nearly always bearded, Sid Haig has provided hulking menace to many low-budget exploitation films and high-priced action films. Mm-hmm. Best known these days is the fun-loving but deadly Captain Spaulding in Rob Zombie's debut film, House of a Thousand Corpses. Sid has earned an award for Best Supporting Actor in the 13th Annual Fangoria Chainsaw Awards, as well as an induction into the Horror Hall of Fame. Captain Spaulding has since become the icon for a new horror genre. Sid has recently enjoyed success as Captain Spaulding once again in Rob Zombie's follow-up to House of a Thousand Corpses entitled The Devil's Rejects.
Oh, yeah.
For this film, Sid received the award for Best Actor in the 15th Annual Fangoria Chainsaw Awards, as well as sharing the award for Most Vile Villain at the first annual Spike TV Scream Awards with Leslie Easterbrook, Sherry Moon, and Bill Moseley. As the Firefly. Yes, thank you. Firefly family. Currently.
I should have read this one.
Thank you. Currently, Sid has several projects in various stages of production. As usual, though, I mean, he's busy, very busy,
yeah.
And continues to enjoy his successes as an actor. Your website, Sid, is www.sidhaig.com, which is, of course, in every horror fan
bookmarks,
but sidhaig.com. Sid, welcome back to Ghostly Talk. It is so good to talk to you again.
You're scaring me, man.
Now, how can we scare
He's
you,
Sid? Filing the restraining orders as we
speak. Yes, he is. No kidding. Wow.
It's good to have you back, Sid. It's been a long time, and we're really glad to talk to you. Brand new year here, and I wanted to start it out great, and you were so nice to come on here and talk to us again. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I guess we could start off with that. A lot of people have been, you know, hey, I checked out IMDb, and God, the guy's got like 30 movies he's got coming out. He's going to be in all kinds of films. So I guess it's a good question to start out with to ask you, like, what are you working on lately, Sid? What's been going on lately?
Well, I'm actually getting ready to start prepping a film that I'm directing.
Really?
Called,
wow.
Yeah. It's called Last Door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on a true story about this kid who, he was separated from his father. His mother had custody of him, and she gave him up, and the father took custody, only to find out shortly thereafter that he had multiple personality disorder, like 400 personalities.
Oh my!
This is all documented. It's a true story, And so the film is basically how the family deals with all of that, and you know, ultimately, as is brought out later on in a book that has been written on the subject, he's still, even in his early 30s, is walking around with 12 personalities that have not been able to be integrated. So it's a nice little cheerful romp.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
and some of those personalities are demonic.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting. Do you, because one of the things that I do in my, you know, running around and talking about paranormal stuff, you know, ghosts and things like that, we run across talk about demons and things like that. Have you, do you think that they do come in and inhabit people's bodies just to use them for a little bit of time and then go off, or do you think that perhaps this is purely psychological?
Well, you know, there's been too many documented cases about the thing to just poo-poo it and say, oh, well, it's just somebody's imagination. You know, I mean, this is not the first time that we've heard about multiple personalities.
Right.
So based on what, you know, I've heard and read over the years about the subject, I guess there's some truth in it. There has to be, because it's, you know, been documented by mental health professionals and the like. So, you know, it's a real deal.
And there's stories like, I think probably the single most the single most known, I guess, mm-hmm. case has to be what, Sybil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sybil was from, I remember hearing about that when I was a wee lad in the 70s and things like that. So mm-hmm. Sybil, or I think it was, and that was just remarkable. I mean, people talked about this.
Didn't they get a bunch of, I am familiar with what you're talking about. I believe they recorded a whole bunch of tapes of this particular subject you're talking about.
Yeah.
And they recorded all these tapes of this person, but going even, in all these different personalities.
But even Sybil didn't have, what did you say, Sid, 400?
400, yeah.
400. I mean, that has
she
to
was
be,
a punk. She only had like three.
Yeah, she was a, like, very, very weak. Weak multiple personalities, but I have to say that the 400 and this fellow, you know, in it's based on a true story, so
yeah.
This fellow lived like that and still lives like that. They just, you know, he doesn't have all 400 anymore, thank heavens, but
right,
he lives
right.
Like this. That's a personal horror.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, go ahead, Sid.
And it's tough for the families as well, you know. Because when they're in the personalities, they're in that personality. And so it's not like a fight that's going on internally. You know, they're just, these things come in and they give up to them, you know. But then, you know, you come out of it and it's like, wow, where am I? What have I done? What's going on? You know, there's that feeling of loss to time and space and everything that you have to deal with, you know.
Wow. I have a question. This is somewhat related. It is your directing debut, right? Are you going to...
My first feature film. I've directed a lot of commercials
and
entertainment videos and stuff like that, but first feature.
That's true. Are you going to be a tough director?
Hey, have you seen any of my films?
Perfect answer. Yes. Perfect.
I don't know if I'd sign on, Sid. I like you. I like you a lot, but I don't know.
Well, this is.
I don't want to be hiding over in, you know, with the donuts or something.
I'll speak from perfect experience here in regards to Sid. Sid, I don't know if you remember, it was such a long time ago, and I know you meet so many people. We got to myself and my sister and our buddy Will got to meet up with you a couple summers ago down in Peru, Indiana, when you were filming Little Big Top.
Right.
We hung out that whole weekend, and I was able, you know, myself and Erica, we were able to watch Sid, you know, in action down there doing this film. And one of my One of my favorite memories of this day was when there was a scene we were shooting on a train track above the city there of Peru. And basically the shot was just simply you had to walk like you were drunk, like you just came from a bar. And, you know, they set the camera up, did the whole thing. You came out, did your shot. And as you walked by me, I was like, hey, good job, Sid. And you're like, well, I've been drunk before. That's not very hard for me to do. I'm like, okay, good point, you know. But, I mean, we had a ball. I mean, it seemed like you were having fun. We all had fun just hanging out on the set, watching you do your work. And everybody was having fun. So I think it'd be great to work under you as far as a director would be concerned.
I've had a lot of experience with actors because I kind of instituted a summer teenage theater workshop for kids, and we had that running for 14 years, and at the same time we were doing like 4 adult plays per year. So, you know, I've been working with actors for a long time. I know what kind of makes them tick and how to get what it is that I need out of them.
But as far as direction's concerned, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
as another lunch money.
Yeah. and the kids, how did they, have any of them, like, I imagine you probably hear from some, and they say, you know what, I was really, really inspired, that really helped me, I've grown as a person. Do you get that a lot from the folks from the summer program?
Yeah, they contact me even, you know, till today, and relay some of the stories and how it kind of changed their outlook on the way that they look at life and you know, how they move forward. Jenna Green was one of my students.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, from Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And she also played the antagonist in what was the name of Sabrina, the teenage werewolf, teenage witch.
Teenage witch.
Oh,
yeah.
That is,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I get those little hits every once in a while. It's kind of cool.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, over the summer here, and this is just some stuff we've been doing here with Ghostly Talk. A couple of us, for some reason this summer, we went out and did a bunch of film shoots. We were on a bunch of film shoots. We didn't do them ourselves. And, you know, watching you work, for example, seeing you in films and stuff like that, it's really hilarious. Like, one situation, for example, we did a couple of zombie films, right? And we talked about them on the show here and stuff like that. And we played zombies, right? Me and my friends, my sister was there, Amber, my girlfriend, was there. And there was one particular shoot that I was in that it was just disgusting, Sid. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever dealt with in my entire life. They poured, like, 30 gallons of fake blood all over me. My face was covered in, you know, with fake blood, you know, fake skin and all this stuff. I was laying in hay that had goat droppings in it, falling out of chairs and stuff like that. I was an absolute wreck. But, you know, when I was in the moment, though, it was like, none of that stuff really mattered to me. Normally, I'd be like, oh, my God, get away from me.
This is
don't
the guy
me.
That washes his hands after eating a slightly messy hamburger.
Yeah, I'll wash that. Yeah, I'm a compulsive hand washer. But when you get in the moment of something like that, you know what you're trying to do. You want to get that on film. You want to make this thing happen. You want to convince somebody who's watching this that you're a zombie, for example, in my case. That you are an ungood person. And it don't matter about any of that stuff. And I, you know, from watching your work, I'm sure a lot of your work has not been very pretty behind, as far as, you know, when you're filming this stuff. It's an ugly process sometimes, but all you're worried about at the time is getting that on film and making it happen and making it as cool as possible.
Yeah. I did a film called Return of the Blob.
Yeah.
It was directed by Gene, Larry Hagman.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Hagman. And in it, I had to basically get eaten by the blob.
Oh.
And it was like literally 50 gallons of dippity doo.
Oh,
and there was no shower.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you had to ride back to the hotel with drying dippity doo all over you.
Yes.
Sounds fun.
That's what they used, huh?
Let's try that one day.
I don't know.
No, no, you don't want to try it? Okay.
You freeze up like a statue.
You would. You'd be like, oh, man.
You, well, you wouldn't have to use mousse for like 8 months.
Well, that's true. That's true. Your hair stands right up on end.
But you were in the moment, though, right, Sid? I mean, you were totally in the moment. It didn't matter how gross you were going to be. I mean, the shower will be there someday. I mean, who cares? Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's the experience. That's what I learned from that. I'm not an actor either. It was just some stuff we were doing for fun. But once you get into that, it's like, wow, let's, you know, this is what we're doing here. Let's make it happen no matter what. And you deal with it. And when you finally get to watch that on the screen, you're like, wow, that really looks great. I'm glad I totally put up with that for the time I did.
So you've gone to great lengths to get the scene, to really, really produce the effect, and I know, because I've seen House of a Thousand Corpses, and I've seen, you know,
Spider
the Devil's
Baby.
Rejects.
We can talk about Spider Baby if you want, Sid.
And I know you've gotten the reactions. I mean, because I was, you know, I definitely felt it when I watched you on the screen, just, you know, scared out of my mind, but so you've gotten these awards.
Yeah,
you've gotten these awards, and you've gone to these conventions, right, and met the people, right?
Yep.
What do people tell you? How do they react to you when they see you in person?
Some of them get like real giddy, okay?
Yeah.
And some are really frightened, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not really an actor, I'm like that for real.
Okay.
which is really weird, but at any rate, that's what people feel. The conventions are amazing because people are so genuine and they just give themselves up, you know, and mm-hmm. it's so cool to be able to interact with everybody. And the thing about the awards that are cool, as far as I'm concerned, is the fact that they weren't awards that were given out by, you know, an association or a union or anything like that. These were all fan-based awards. People, you know, getting on the internet and voting and you know, that means a lot to me. There was one, as a matter of fact, do you ever see a Videoscope, the magazine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I tied for Best Actor with Christian Bale.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's...
On Devil's Rejects.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, wow. So the fans, you know, I mean, that made me feel really good. And, you know, I'm not putting down, like, the Academy Awards or the Screen Actors Awards or the Golden Globes or any of that stuff. Those are, you know, those are all cool. But when the fans extend themselves like that, that's the thing that's important to me.
Well, the thing too is you mentioned a few seconds ago that, you know, when you meet some people, they're giddy or they're actually scared of you and things like that. Well, we all know that you're a nice guy, and you're a fun guy. That just shows how good the work is though, or how, you know, how good your acting has been put into that. What are you trying to do as an actor? You're trying to convince that person who's watching you that, you know, you are this person. And if they're that intimidated by you, I think you've done your job. That's what I see. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's given me their house yet, but that's okay. I'll do something really scary, and then I'll wind up with houses and cars and stuff.
That would be something. If you could scare cars away
please
from
take
people.
My house. Don't kill me. How many bedrooms? Shut up. Get out of here.
Wow. So you're going to do your feature-length film, okay? Doesn't that take, like, 50 million times more energy and time and creativity and thinking than you ever thought you would have to spend?
It seems like it would, yeah.
I mean, I'd look at that project and go, oh, my gosh, what am I getting myself into?
Yeah. It takes a lot. And plus the fact I'm playing a major role in the film, too.
So acting and directing in this film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. And And when can we expect to see this out? Like, is this a 2-year, 3-year thing?
I'm making no promises.
Okay.
Smart man.
Well, what
I know, I know how the internet works, and I know how all this stuff works. Okay,
yeah.
I'm saying nothing.
Don't blame you. Don't blame you.
I don't blame you, because you know, right, somebody will take whatever you said, chop off like 3 years from it, and then run
well, this
out
stuff,
like,
you know,
like
and
this is absolutely
yeah,
fact.
It's coming
you know
out next week.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh my gosh, Sid said this.
Well, you know, well, as we know, no, too, and as you know all too well, Sid, I mean, especially working in this in the entertainment industry like that, you know, things change so much all the time. You cannot put like a definite time on anything. Things change left and right. I know that for a fact myself.
Did you pick this story? Like, did you sit down and say, what are all the stories that I know, or what are all the books that I've read, or what are all the things that people have told me? And did how much of you went into choosing this story to do as your directing feature length debut?
I'll tell you exactly how it happened.
Yes.
The writer and producer contacted my agent and wanted me to play a role in the film. And it's this guy who is the leader of a satanic cult. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I read it, and I said, you know, there's really nothing there. I mean, all he does through the whole thing is just spout satanic ritual. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, you can get anybody to do that, okay? And it's just, it doesn't go anywhere, so, you know, I'm really not that interested. So, my agent, you know, told him, and she said, well, besides, you know, we're looking for a project for Sid to direct. And they said, oh, no, we've got a director, and blah, blah, blah. So, a little while went by, and they did a rewrite on the character, and, well, you know, it was... Now it was a real person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we still brought up the idea of directing, and then finally they called one day and said, you know, we've been thinking about Sid directing this film, and we'd like to talk to him about that. I said, okay. So they drove 220 miles from Fresno, California, down to Woodland Hills. We sat, we had lunch, we talked, they got back in the car and drove 220 miles back, and it was decided that I would direct the film. So there we go.
Well, there you go.
That's fantastic. So it's a project that you were familiar with, a project that you were, that you actually, without even knowing it, because you said, no, this character is not for me, it's not, mm-hmm, it's not interesting, it's two-dimensional, not three-dimensional. You actually said, no, they went back, they came, they're like, wow, you know, we got to make this character better, since this character needs more. And so they rework things, and then they got you. This is just absolutely incredible how this stuff works.
Oh, yeah.
And 220 miles for lunch, I'd do it. Meet Sid Haig.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, we have to do. We
gotta go
to
break.
Yeah.
Before we go to break, though, Sid, I got to see you myself. Me and Amber, my girlfriend, got to see you in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, back in February of 2007.
Brr.
And you made a visit with us to Eastern State Penitentiary that night. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yep.
I want to talk to you about that a little bit after the break. Would that be cool?
Sure.
All right, let's take a quick break here.
Let's do that.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back with Sid Haig after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Hey, Scott L. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners.
As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Experience the charm and mystery of the Deet Sound through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this 2-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
Hey, it's Wolfman Mac. Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. We're hanging out at the Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, with the good folks from Ghostly Talk. Ooh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies. And you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. And it's at Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you, and all you gotta do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Mac, Nightmare Cinema. Bye!
Yeah.
there. When I need to quench my desire for the paranormal, only one thing can hit the spot. I tune into Night Watch with Todd Sheets. Accept no substitutes. When you need the real thing, tune in to Night Watch, the only show that shudders and shakes and bumps in the night. And don't forget, Night Watch is also available on iTunes for your portable paranormal pleasure. Night Watch, paranormal radio for everyone. Why settle for less? Demand the best. Night Watch.
Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that you will only get better.
Listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
The website is www.sidhaig.com. That's SIDHAIG.com. And what a busy guy, Sid.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. You directing debut about a what a compelling story too. I mean the. Multiple personality thing. It always has.
Oh yeah.
You know, captured the minds of people is, you know, how do people live like that? And you're going to explore it in a movie. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. Not only that, but to make it your feature length directing debut. Wow. I mean, that's quite a project.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm raring to go here.
So essentially it sounds to me more like the project may have picked you, which is absolutely thrilling. I mean, that's thrilling. I mean, cause
sometimes that happens. Sometimes that just happens.
It does, and I think it happened here because you had sent them away. You know, you said, I don't know, this character you want me to play, it's just not enough. It's flat. They come, I'm just recapping.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, yeah, and they went away. They totally revamped the character, came back, and they said, we want to have some lunch and chat about it, and then boom. Can you direct it? I'm excited for you. I am excited for you, Sid, and I'm also excited for us who are going to get to see this eventually when it gets, put in the can.
Yep.
When we were, go ahead, Sid.
No, that's all right. Well, the thing is, you know, House of a Thousand Corpses found me.
Oh, did
oh really?
It?
Yeah, because I got a call from my agent. Telling me to, you know, go to this office building and sign a letter of non-disclosure and take the script home and read it. And if I liked the part, it was mine.
Wow.
I didn't have to audition for anybody, okay? It was pretty cool.
Well, I think some people actually write characters, don't they, Sid? I mean, I've heard about directors or writers doing this, and they already have an actor in mind when they're writing the character.
Sure, they do.
You know, and that, so those things are naturally find the person because it's intended for them.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've also seen where after, and I've seen this with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. I experienced it with a project, an independent project. I experienced where. Everything was written, and they're looking for people to fill these little roles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was like, oh my God, Scott, I think it was you, who said, yeah. Oh, that's obviously Bonnie.
Mm.
We have to cast Bonnie for that, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a little project that we did. It was phenomenal.
Yeah,
it came
out. It took on a life of its own after a while, too.
Yes, it did. So, I mean, when the character's written, then you just know right away who it's supposed to be. And that either of those two scenarios could have been what happened with House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, that the acting that you do has definitely... you know, puts you in the minds of people because they get scared by you, you know. but also it puts you in the minds of people. You have fans everywhere, and that affords you a lot of interesting opportunities. Mm. And one of the opportunities we heard about was back in February.
Yeah, we mentioned it before the break. Yeah,
we mentioned it just before the break. Is back in February. You were prowling around the hallowed halls of Eastern State Penitentiary in the freezing, freezing cold weather.
With all
in February,
of us, yeah.
With a bunch of ghost hunters.
Yeah. Yep.
How cool is that? So did you see a ghost?
Actually, that was a very noisy night.
Yes.
There was a lot of you know, noise going on, and when they took a look at the tape. Brian Honghua and myself were standing there talking, and this dark shadow moved right across the back of us.
So you guys were this? There was a camera running on you guys while you were talking.
Yeah.
And there was just some dark shadow just walked behind you guys.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, have you seen the tape, or have you just heard about it?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing because. We kind of had a deal where he was going to make that tape available to me, and you know, I'd be able to sell it at conventions and stuff because people are interested in that kind of thing.
Mm.
And it was a pretty cool evening, but you know, it just went aground.
Oh boy!
Yeah. So.
Well, I know.
No idea. I've never seen it.
I know it was really funny that weekend because I talked to Brian for a second. And he's like,
I don't know if I'd want to see it.
What's that?
If I'm standing there just chatting, la, 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 you know, weather this, it's cold, and I like lemonade, and blah, 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 whatever you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then later to be shown a video of it, and there's a shadow moving across behind you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would scare me probably, or make the hair on the back of my neck raise up, and probably you know, and probably just like leave. It would probably just march off my body and run away because I oh my goodness, there was something, and I don't know what that was.
Well, I don't know about you, Sid. That night we spent two nights there. We were there Friday night and Saturday night, and. In all honesty, you weren't there, Doug, but if you were there, nothing probably could have scared you that night because it was so freezing cold in that prison. Because you got to think about it. I mean, it's really cold outside already.
Yeah.
But once you go inside of those stone walls like that, it's all stone. It's a prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a refrigerator. It's like even colder.
Did you know that there was not heat in that building until the 30s?
Didn't know that. But I don't doubt it.
It was built in 1890 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no heat of any kind until like the mid-30s.
I wonder...
40 years without even so much as a furnace.
I forgot what year Capone was put in there. They probably installed it when Capone got put in there. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
You have to have heat for Mr. Capone to be imprisoned here.
Right.
But
right.
No, it was so cold in there. We lasted both nights, Sid. Friday night, we only lasted until about 1:32 in the morning. And the same thing with Saturday night. I have to thank the Louisville Ghost Hunters again, Tanya and Allie, for saving our lives because they actually had coffee there in the middle of the, like in the center area. They had coffee, which kept us going for a little bit longer. But by 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, we just couldn't take it anymore. It was just so freezing cold out there. We had to go and get somewhere warmer. We were just going to fall apart. But it was a fun experience, though, and it was really cool to have you there, too.
Yeah, it was cool, and we were in kind of a, I mean, there was only like a half a dozen of us that went off on that one little side trip there,
mm-hmm.
And we went into some like restricted areas and things like that, so it was pretty wild. A lot of orbs. We saw a lot of orbs going around, and but it was very clanky and noisy and stuff.
There was a lot of people there, and that was my one concern. Even though
this wasn't noise from the people.
Mm-hmm. That was just noise from
ambient noise from the prison itself and the ghosts that inhabit the place.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Did you see Al Capone's cell and everything like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You couldn't miss it because it was like right when you walked into that place, Doug.
Right.
Oh, okay.
It's like right there. Like you look to your as you're walking the main entrance of the prison. It was like the first cell to the left right there, and there was a big sign that said, this is where Al Capone, you know, it was huge. And I don't know if you looked in there or not, Sid, because we were able to look right in the cell. It was beautiful in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have pictures of it. This prison cell was absolutely plushed out. Beautiful furniture. There was a carpet laid down in there. It was really nice in that cell.
Had a nice desk.
Mm-hmm.
Easy chair. Come on.
Yeah, he had it all. He had it all.
It doesn't sound like prison that I think of.
It was Al Capone.
Well, it was Al Capone. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So there was that. You said there was that one black figure, though. Is there any? Did you have any other experiences when you were there?
Did I do what?
Did you have any other experiences when you were at the prison there that night?
No, just the fact that we'd get orbs flashing across, and there was a couple of times where I felt that I did see a dark shadow down at the end of one of the hallways. That was it. And I'm not freaked out by that kind of stuff. I would have just, gotten on with whatever came up.
Do you think those are former inmates or former guards roaming around and doing their thing still, even though they're really not only free of jail, they're free of, like, corporeal, being here.
Have you ever read The Pit and the Pendulum?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Edgar Allan Poe, I love it.
So how could the guy be free?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You're totally right.
Like, the knife is coming down, cutting his clothes apart, and the guy comes in and says, okay, that's it, you're free. Really? Oh, gee, let's go to McDonald's.
No, it was a real fun weekend there. We enjoyed going there. Finally, I want to go when it's more warm, when it's warmer next time though, because that was the hardest part about trying to do some work there, was just even with gloves on. We were bundled up. It was
bitter cold,
brutal in there. There was somebody you said there was black shadows. Well, you mentioned that on tape.
Yeah.
One of the groups on Friday night when we were there, we were with a kid. It was myself and Amber and a few other people that were walking around with us, and we went down one of the cell blocks, and one of the young ladies swore that she put her flashlight in the cell, and there was the figure of a person, like, just kind of like hunched over, like kind of like with their hands on their knees, hunched over in the corner of a cell, and she come hightailing down that down that cell block at full speed to us, because she kind of went down there on her own, and we were just kind of standing there talking. She comes shooting back there, and we're like, what? And she's like, I just saw somebody in the cell over there. I just swear to God, I just saw somebody. A lot of reports of that. What's that,
Steve? The thing that's cool is when we shoot Last Door, one of the locations is going to be in a haunted sanitarium.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Yep.
I'm not going to ask which one it is.
Yeah, but it's still pretty cool.
It's in Clovis, California, which is just like right next door to Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where everything happened. This is where the story took place, and everybody agreed that Fresno was the place to shoot it because that's where everything came down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I scouted a location, and it's this haunted sanitarium that's pretty cool. I mean, there's ghosts flying around there all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of headstones around the grounds, because people that died in there and didn't have any family or anything, they just buried them right there. And this is something that they're getting all the facts together, but it's like everybody that was institutionalized there died there.
Wow.
And that happens with a lot of those places, though, too. We hear about that a lot, where some of these people who were institutionalized, they had no family that they knew of. They had nobody they could
call. Or the family had disowned them.
Or they just said, forget it, you deal with them.
Written them off, you know.
So they would have to find a place to bury these people, and it was usually on site, somewhere on the property of the institution.
So if, Sid... If you can, oh my gosh, I would be forever in your debt. If, when you're filming there, if you get a ghost on film, if you can't use it in the movie because its lawyer won't let you or something, can you at least put it on the, like the clips? These are the outtakes, you know, on the DVD. These are the outtakes and these are the ghosts that showed up on our film. I mean, that would just be insanely cool. I think that would probably be a first, too.
Mm-hmm. We've heard of. I mean, we've had that, you know, people contact us, like independent artists and stuff like that, contact us and say the same thing. Like we were filming a video, like one band, for example, emailed us about.
Oh, the band in Toledo,
yeah,
or something.
The Absence from Florida. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Absence from Florida.
They contacted
us.
They were actually doing some work in Ohio. They were filming a video there, and their drummer emailed us and said, "Hey, you know, I want to talk to you guys about this. We were filming this video, and we got all these outtakes, and there's all kinds of crazy stuff flying all over the place, and we don't know what it's all about. You know, can you help us?" And we're like, "Well, yeah, sure. What do you want to know about it?"
We'll say a prayer.
But I mean, what a more natural thing, though, Sid, when you think about that. Like, you know, you're filming a movie or you're filming something like that. The cameras are rolling just like they're rolling in our hands, and we're all going to places looking for this particular type of phenomena. So, I mean, it's natural, I think, to get this stuff on film.
If something happens, I want it on the DVD. That would be so cool. Yes.
We got a couple minutes, Sid. Is there anything else you got working on in the future?
I'm up to my neck. When I finish this film, I'm supposed to start another film. I'm starring in a film called Dead Boat.
Oh.
And after that, there's another film that's lined up. Plus, I owe Joe Netter a audiobook that I'm going to do for him when I get more than, like, 7.5 seconds to myself. A publisher just contacted me not too long ago about writing a book.
Oh,
really?
Oh, that would so be in my library.
Oh, God,
yeah. He's right. Your publisher's right. You need to write a book. Oh, I'd be so excited.
Well, is that like an autobiography type of book, Sid?
Yeah.
Well, that would be a lot of fun.
I don't care if he just wrote one of his dreams down. Sid, no. How'd you?
You don't even want to
know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What do you do for vacation? Because you do all this work. I've seen
your... I don't even know what that is.
You don't know what a vacation is? I just started taking vacations 2 years ago, so...
I haven't had one
and
yet.
And even then, it's only a one-week little stint, and it always has to do with a haunted place, so...
Yeah, so we're always working, essentially.
Yeah, I guess we're always working.
We don't get a break either, so I know how that... We know how you feel, Sid.
Yeah.
Although I think his might be a bit more intense than ours.
What's that, Bonnie?
He's always working.
Yeah, his Always Working produces videos and books and audio tapes, and our Always Working produces a lot of questions.
Well,
actually,
that's a question I had, Sid. You mentioned an audio book. Have you ever done any audio books before? Have you ever recorded any of those before?
No.
This will be your first one?
Yeah.
I'm really surprised by that, because, I mean, as everybody knows, you've got a really powerful voice, too. And it seems like people will be calling you, to do these types of projects a lot more.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... It just never happened. I'm looking forward to doing it. It's another little thing that I can, you know, say that I've done.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people nowadays, it may be picking up for you, Sid, because I think a lot more people are, you know, with the time people have nowadays, nobody can really sit down and take, like, their eyeballs and focus them on one thing for more than, like, 15 seconds. Whereas, you know, these books on, you know, CD now, you can get them all over the place. You can throw them in your car while you're driving to work or stuff like that. Exactly. I know I've done the same thing. So I'm watching the sections grow and grow at the bookstores as far as audiobooks are concerned.
Yeah.
So it's
I know people phenomenon. That drive around because they know that they're, like, towards the end of a chapter. And then just, like, drive around until it's over.
Lord.
So they're like, it's so close. I'm just going to go around the block a couple times.
I like reading too much to do that.
I like to read too, but
I read so slowly that a book is actually faster.
Do.
Yeah.
Oh, a book on, you mean a
book
on tape?
Or a book on tape, yeah.
Print by the time Doug finishes reading.
I do. I read very slowly. So
I read slowly too, because as I read, I'm shooting what it is that I'm reading.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
No, and that's kind of what I do, too, is that's how much I get into it like that.
Yeah, I can see and experience and hear the book, the story, the characters. It's all going on in my head when I'm reading. So
I can't get into guys like Michener, you know, because he'll go on for 26 pages about a leaf, you know.
Yeah.
What a leaf looks like. Let's get on with it.
Yes. What was it, Hawaii or something? It's oh, my gosh, it went on and on. I didn't ever really
complete
books,
it. You can use these books as a coffee table.
Yes, you could.
Like, they're that big, you know. But they don't say anything.
No, not at all. I found it to be just long, I think.
How was that book? It was long.
It was long.
It was long.
Very long.
But
I got to page
my ficus looks good on it.
Yeah. I can set my coffee on there. It's great.
Yeah.
Well, Sid, it sounds like, per usual, you know, since our last visit, you are no stranger to just, staying busy and stuff like that. And that's, I think that's what it's all about, though. I mean, just keep going. That's what we do here. We just keep working. And vacations, you sleep when you die, I guess. That's the way I feel about it, you know.
Yeah, Rob Zombie will try to take a vacation, okay? Mm-hmm. It's like 3 days in and he's going nuts, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I feel, too. And I always say it to people. Like, even today, for example, I had like an hour and a half. I finished all my stuff, right, for getting ready for the show and errands. And I'm like, okay,
what do I do
now? I got to be productive. I got to be productive. And I forced myself
to
sit down.
If you were Sid Haig, you'd have made a movie.
Well, yeah. But I forced myself to sit down and play a video game. I had to force myself, literally, to sit down and go, okay, look, you've had a very busy week. You need to chill out and recharge a little bit before you do the show tonight. So I have to force myself to take a break here and there. Other than that, it's just 100% productivity all the time, I hope. That's what I'm trying for. And it's something that's the same thing for you, too, Sid.
Yeah, it's crazy, but, you know, what else are you going to do?
Exactly.
Sid, thank you so much.
Hang on the line.
Your website is www.sidhaig.com. All your stuff. Of course, if anyone goes to IMDb and types in your name, they'll be there for hours. You've done so much for us and for everybody else.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal work. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, again, we really appreciate it.
But can you hang on the line for just one
moment?
Yeah,
don't leave us just yet, Sid.
Otherwise, we get a nasty, like, sound in the closing of the program. So
okay.
Just one moment.
Never 1 second.
And I have to say, what
great
a
way to start
show.
The year off. I'm really
yes,
happy
it
about
was
this.
So good to talk to Sid Haig again. SidHaig.com.
Hey, what's up,
yes.
Sid?
Check out the Young Werewolves new CD. I do a narrative on one of the tracks.
Really?
The Young Werewolves new CD. You do a narrative. Oh, that is so cool.
I imagine they're on MySpace, right, Sid?
Huh?
They're on MySpace, I imagine?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Well, they should be able to link off. I know there is an official Sid Haig, yeah.
Yeah, let's do a link.
Yeah, we'll link off that. We'll
that
definitely link to those
cool.
guys for sure.
So, thank you, Sid. We also talked with Vance West from TrinitySciences.com.
Watching the ORVP.
Tim Yancey dropped in for a little bit and talked to us. We didn't get to talk to Dave from Nightwatch. That's
Todd.
Dave is the one who emailed me.
Dave from Darkness Radio.
Dave from Darkness.
Thanks again for that, by the way, Dave, if you're listening. Thank you.
And he's the one who said he's stuck in, you know, travel issues. So, NightwatchShow.com is who we didn't get to talk to, but we'll bring Todd out as soon as possible.
Down the road here sometime.
So, with that, this has been another Ghostly Talk, the first of 2008.
Yeah.
I have been Doug.
I've been Scott L.
I'm still Bonnie.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah,
next week.
I'm confused.
Aren't we all?
We do that a lot.
We do a lot. We do a lot in one show here, so I can understand you being confused.
Close the show.
We'll see
Thank
you guys
you
later.
So much.
Have a great week,
everyone.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
corrupt, I listen to loudly.
I need to go someplace where I can think.
More accurate, balanced news coverage. Real people with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. And if we don't get it, we'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Don't hate the media, become the media.